Space News 84. Many news, and an amazing rescue. Hello, thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. This is Marie, with another edition of Space News. Welcome to my channel. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. I am writing this on the morning of June 13, 2025. It may be advisable to watch Space News episodes 81, 82, and 83, but especially number 81, before this one to better understand what I am talking about. In the first piece of news, Antarian, Irma, and Tegetan forces, acting under space law and following the rules and regulations of the Galactic Federation, arrested all 12 of the local Viera-based High Council Federation representatives who were responsible for all actions involving planet Earth. Those representatives had been in office for decades and had developed a monopoly over what is legal, and whether any action concerning Earth would be correct. Those 12 representatives, members of various star races, were highly respected, and some were even highly known or notorious in the New Age media on Earth. At this point, it was decided to omit their names and races in this edition of Space News to avoid unnecessary controversy coming from their possible fanatics, who would most probably start bouncing around, denying everything. All 12 were charged with treason to the Galactic Federation and the best principles it was founded on, conspiracy against other Galactic Federation members, and criminal association with known Cabal members of Earth, which includes a long list of atrocities I cannot even begin to mention in this social media platform. All 12 of them became overconfident in their legal ability to remain in power, underestimating the knowledge of space law of our friend, the Antarian ambassador, as Ed Nidia, who acted in full coordination with the Irma and with us. As Ed Nidia's legal team left all other observing star races speechless and were forced to concur with our decision to remove and arrest those 12 political representatives. As a related consequence of these actions, Ambassador, as Ed Nidia and her legal team are also working on removing the Andromedan biosphere ship, Viera, from being the official Federation headquarters, yet the Andromedans claim that there is no need for such a thing, as they offer the only planet-like starship in this area which is capable of harboring multiple star races at once, as a multicultural hub. What is certain is that the next 12 local Federation representatives who will be replacing the arrested ones will not belong to any of those same star races. As another requisite, all those 12 new representatives must belong to emotional star races, and also have a Lyrian human majority among them. What is also already certain is that among those new 12 there will be an Antarian, an Irma, and a direct member of the Alcyone Council, if not a Tegetan. They have not been appointed yet, but will be in the next few days, and as Ed Nidia, King Rua, and I, are strong candidates at this point, yet all three of us are heavily overtasked as we are. King Rua insists on having an Irma in the council, if not himself, even though they are not Lyrian, as their home planet is very near Earth at only 25 light years away, and they are very much invested in re-establishing harmony in their space vicinity for their own safety. These last arrests have strengthened our dominance in the space around Earth, all while the Saturn level of the Galactic Federation, the one who is supposed to watch over all the interests and needs of this solar system, has uttered no word, and their silence is taken as a message of disapproval. As we are doing everything legally, and by the book, there is no way we can be removed from this area by force, as even opinionated, antagonistic Federation members who dislike us have been forced to concede and cooperate with us. This is also why we cannot make ourselves be seen on Earth, at least not yet, as we must follow space law letter by letter and to the dot, or our entire operations could be placed in jeopardy. We are under considerable pressure from numerous other observing star races that are also Federation members. Some of them do not favor us and are merely seeking an excuse to revert to the previous state of affairs, which would be detrimental to all our interests, particularly those of the people of Earth. One of the strongest pieces of evidence against the 12 arrested Federation representatives is the proven fact that they denied us entry into the Viera for more than 24 hours after they had already issued an official declaration stating that they were supposedly on our side and that they surrendered. It has now been proven that it was only a strategy to stall our entrance in the Andromedan Viera, while they replaced communication and internet servers with inconsequential, useless ones, hid or destroyed holographic and digital computer data that compromised them, and while they finished destroying several tons of sensitive documents. When we were finally allowed inside, they had already cleaned, sanitized, and doctored everything that could be used as evidence against them. Yet their efforts to hide all the evidence were not adequate, as enough of it was found to justify their arrests and removal. Who knows what else they managed to hide? Moving on to something else, although everything is related, we have uncovered one of the next possible moves of the Cabal on Earth. We have done so by observing media and other content, and connecting the dots with what is going on outside of Earth. It is highly probable that not long from now, the Cabal will start to push the idea that there is a large extraterrestrial ship slowly moving towards Earth. There isn't any direct schedule at this point, but the years 2027 and 2034 come up constantly in our scanners and algorithms, but it could be before those dates or between them. Taking into account that there are nearly 1,000 large ships in Earth's orbit all the time, this cabal-based manipulation news lie makes no sense, much less the idea that it is slowly approaching Earth, as the concept of slowly would only give them time to exploit their fear-inducing mechanisms in their favor, and against the population of Earth, with their classical, cause a problem to sell the solution. Such a ship does not exist, and will not exist, as no ship approaches a planet that slowly. It would be a complete contradiction to how everything works outside Earth, and will only be a fear-mongering, manipulative, flat lie. So beware, you have been warned by us. There is also a lot of chatter and traffic concerning something big cooking for the next few days on Earth and, or, in the USA. Perhaps a large false banner that is related to the recent riots and social unrest, implementing a solution to what they, themselves, caused. Remember how they work: they cause a problem to create a reaction, to later impose a solution. Therefore, I strongly suggest you should not take part in any march, riot, or anything similar, as you would only be giving them all the excuses they want and seek. Use your head and use any other kind of resistance, except the one they expect, and are experts in counteracting and turning to their advantage. Moving on to another thing, since about a week ago, at least 75 long-range Orion starships parked themselves around Earth in a perimeter spherical formation, at about 5 million kilometers away from the planet, and well inside official interplanetary space. This is a more or less expected move as they plot a way to come closer to the planet and gain or regain control over it. Up to now, they have been non-confrontational and simply move away if approached, or if another Federation starship passes through their position as it approaches or as it leaves Earth. Yet, they are there waiting for orders, but our forces here are much stronger. Moving to the next piece of news, again closer to Earth. An Alpha Centauri observation reconnaissance craft crashed in the general area of central Canada 3 days ago. I cannot give exact dates for safety reasons. Although the craft was a total loss, Both its pilot and co-pilot survived only with minor injuries. They called for help, and their teammates were there on the spot in a matter of minutes, while two of our stack crafts, numbers 185 and 200, gave them air cover during the rescue and recovery operation. It was later determined that the cause of the crash was a malfunction in the heating systems of the nose sensors, causing another malfunction, which produced wrong data to be sent to the navigation computer that controls the anti-gravity generators. Contrary to the initial conclusions we had here, no alcohol consumption was involved, and the crew was not at fault. It was a simple case of bad maintenance and a warning for other ships of the same class, which have been grounded for review. The rescued crew is in good health and with good spirits. Moving on to something else. Our rescue operations are undergoing and advancing. Our stack craft are overflying conflict zones every day, doing everything possible to lessen the impact on the civilian population. At the same time, the Cabal does whatever they can to counteract us, for example, by sending squadrons of fighter craft to be based near where they detect our presence, as happened some days ago when they sent F-16 fighter jets to Brazil, but they are no match for our hardware. Coming back to the social unrest in the United States, please put on your thinking hat, as I cannot be direct here. The mass ICE deportations have become a complete and efficient factory to manufacture defenseless little people who have been separated from their families. This is at an industrial scale, which is hardly mentioned in the normal media, and a very large number of them end up in the hands of the Cabal and in their dumps. This is by design, and it is a convenient for them byproduct of their demonic actions against innocent people, so please, please take care of the little ones. The whole area of LA is heavily guarded, especially underground, but we are already taking action there. The Cabal already knows this, so I can say it. This may be a strategy to counteract the loss of people they are suffering as we advance in our rescue operations. The Cabal on Earth uses dumps for hiding, but they cannot hide from us there because we are now using their very portals against them, those that they thought would allow them to escape from our blockades. They have innumerable artificial portals and jump rooms, which are more portals but designed for long-distance travel, as they define them using a different name. Those are now a problem for them as we are using them as entry and exit points for our special forces, as they enter deep inside their dumps to rescue people. This is done because we have managed to hijack them and hack their systems. I cannot say more at this point. We are now moving on to intelligence gathering operations to further back our ongoing rescue efforts. And this is where I would like to deeply thank all of you who have donated to my channel a single time or repeatedly, because I would like to share with you what the money is being used for. I know that some irresponsible people, in complete ignorance of how things really work, may say that no extraterrestrials would ever need money. So I must say this again. And I remind everyone who might have this opinion that we do not ask for donations. The desire to donate came from the community itself, and it was our choice to use that money for the benefit of humanity itself. We cannot sell items on Earth, like jewelry, art, much less gold, because we already tried that approach and it was extremely inefficient and even dangerous. We cannot hack banking systems, and we cannot replicate gold or physical money either, because that would be against the non-intervention regulations of the Galactic Federation, and as I said before, we must do everything by law and by the book, or other members could end up forcing us to go away. Everything on Earth works with money, as it is said, without it, the monkey doesn't dance. Earth humans or extraterrestrials, we all need money while operating on Earth, so the fact that this YouTube channel is monetized and accepts donations does not mean we are false. We have teams of brave agents working on the surface, gathering intelligence, information, and data which are essential to our rescue operations. This means that they need operational money to finance their stay below, they need money to eat, to clothe themselves, to move and for transportation, as well as for accommodation, and sometimes they may even need to rent a small flat or house while they conduct their reconnaissance mission in a place of interest, also while keeping a needed profile. A good example of this happened just last Sunday, when one of our Tejetan Special Forces Surveillance one-man team, right in a hotspot activity area, witnessed the taking of a 20-year-old girl near Juarez, Mexico, in plain daylight while she attended a big party. The lone brave Tejetan young man followed the vehicle with the girl inside using his own old pickup truck, which was part of his cover as a gringo tourist. He asked for help from the rest of our teams, while he did his best not to lose sight of the bad guys with the girl, inside a black old Cadillac Escalade. The bad guys moved her from safe house to safe house for the next 6 hours, with our Tejetan operative following them while hiding as best as possible. When the bad guys were certain that no one was following them, they drove off-road into the desert until they reached an old shed that looked abandoned, where they unloaded the girl. The equipment the single Tejetan operative had, which included advanced field glasses, indicated that the shed was a cover for an underground entrance. He single-handedly managed to enter the guarded shed when he had a chance, untied the girl and pulled her out of there before the bad guys noticed that she was missing. Unfortunately, they eventually did and gave them pursuit while they tried to escape in the old pickup truck, which was destroyed in the process. The Tejetan Special Forces operator and the girl ran among the desert brush with the bad guys close behind them, while he constantly called for help. Just on time, a Susie Mark 6 Tejetan fighter approached the area at high speed, descended in front of them in a cloud of dust, with its frontal ramp open, and while returning fire against their pursuers. Both the young Tejetan and the girl ran on board, and the Susie 6 with the tail number 827, Blue Squadron of the Starship Alcyone, took to the skies again at speed, and with a high rate of climb, leaving behind a wake of vapor because of the abruptness of the maneuver. They were successfully rescued, even though they barely made it out, and his heroism will not be forgotten. The girl was in enemy hands for less than 7 hours since her taking, and she is now safe and in good spirits, although understandably still quite frightened. I cannot say more about her at this time for her own safety. As for the Tejetan young man who belongs to the 1st Hashmalim, Special Forces Unit, of the Starship Alcyone, known as the Blue Wolves, his cover there was blown, and he cannot resume his reconnaissance intelligence gathering job anywhere near that area. His truck was lost as well as the place where he was staying and everything in it, but it was more than worthwhile. He is happy and heavily applauded, although these kinds of acts of heroism are not encouraged, as they usually don't end well. But the young Hashmalim refused to let the girl go and be lost to face a horrible destiny, even in the face of great difficulty, opposition, and danger. He did not falter, and she was never truly alone thanks to him. This is what the money is being used for, besides simple food, supplies, and needed things, so it is very well spent. I don't like to talk about this, but if I don't do so, you would never know. But I do hesitate nonetheless, because events like this one are not part of a movie, they are happening in real life, and people do suffer and even die. Real people with loved ones, interests, plans, dreams, pets and families. Acts like this one I just described cannot be forgotten, much less ignored. That's why I had to share it with all of you. This is not a game. I salute you, Haniel Avera. You are one of the very best Hashmalims ever, and an example for us all, thank you. This will be all for today. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. It helps this channel grow a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love and appreciation, your friend, Marie.